Take your Bible, if you would, this morning, turn to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke in chapter number 23 for a few moments this morning. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 23. I appreciate again Sunday school hour, the teaching of the Word of God. I appreciate the wonderful singing this morning. Choir, you've done a great job, certainly as always. And boy, I tell you, I'm rejoicing in my heart and my soul today. Thank God for that blood. Hallelujah. No more sacrifice for sin. I tell you what, all those animals had been sacrificed in the Old Testament through all the ages of the Jewish people. I'm glad once and for all, hallelujah, when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, I'm glad the price was paid for the redemption of all of mankind. And I want to look at that for just a few moments this morning with the help of the Lord as you pray for us out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 23. I realize this is a day that we celebrate the resurrection of our Savior, and certainly very fitting. And I'm thankful for certainly, again, that not only did he go to the cross and die, but they also came out victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And so that's what we celebrate this morning. But as I was praying and studying, the Lord had placed this thought upon my heart several days ago, and I began to look at it, ponder, and meditate on it. And I feel like that's what the Lord would have us to bring this morning. Matter of fact, I didn't realize it, but Brother Curtis read part of that text that I'm going to use this morning. As they sang that song, or before they sang the song this morning, but we do feel like that's what the Lord would have us to look at today. Luke chapter number 23, going to look at down verses 39, starting 39, go down through verse 45. If I had a thought or a title this morning that I want you to think about as we preach this morning, and I pray that God would speak to your heart about it, simply be this: the day that everything changed. The day that everything changed. Well, I'm glad to thank God. And there's a day that everything changed. Amen. All them Old Testament sacrifices and all that was done away with when we come to the cross of Calvary. The day that everything changed. And not only did everything change as far as salvation is concerned, but we'll also see one of the thieves here, one of the malefactors, as Luke classifies it. We see that life changed for him as well. So I pray the Lord will speak to us here this morning and help us. And if you're here today and you don't know him, again, that God would convict you and draw you today. If you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the Word of God, if you're able to stand. And certainly if you're not able to stand today, then certainly that's okay. Luke chapter number 23, let's look in verse number 39. Of course, the scene Calvary here, as we well know, but notice now starting in verse 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou, now notice that, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, does not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto him, Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Verse 43, and Jesus said unto him, verily, I say unto thee, today, the day that everything changed, today shall thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent into the midst. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence today, Father, to again thank you, Lord, for another wonderful day, to thank you for this Lord's Day, this resurrection day, Father, as we've come. Now this day, Father, to worship you and to honor you and to celebrate, Father, today the salvation and the relationship that we have through and by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you today for this number that has gathered in on this beautiful Easter Sunday. And I just pray right now that the Holy Ghost of God will settle in this place. Lord, I thank you for the teaching of the Word of God this morning. I thank you for the beautiful singing. Lord, I thank you for the precious Word of God. I pray right now, Father, you'd anoint, Lord, my mind, my mouth, and my lips, Lord, as I stand now. Father, in this place, I realize that, Father, I stand in a place where no man can stand alone and accomplish the will of God. I pray right now for fresh oil, God, I pray, God, this morning, that you would help me as I stand here today. For no doubt there are people here this morning that probably have never truly been born again. Lord, they don't know what it is today to be saved. They don't have that joy and that peace, Lord, and that comfort in their hearts right now if they were to depart this world that they go to be with you. But I pray now through the preaching of your word, and I pray through the working of the Holy Ghost of God here in this place this morning, that God, that you just settle in. And Lord, I pray that ears and hearts will be open and attentive, Lord, to what you have for us here today. And Lord, I pray for that one that could be here lost. God, I pray that, God, that you would convict them, Lord, bring them under old time conviction, Lord, in such a way that, Father, they would not want to leave today, Lord, without making things right with a thrice holy God. Lord, realizing we're all going to stand before you one day and give an account, Lord, of our lives. So I pray, God, speak to hearts, for those that might be here today cold and indifferent, Lord, whatever the need, Father, that you just meet every need upon every heart. Thank you again now for the word of God. Thank you most of all that you are alive today, Lord, and you're alive in my heart. I pray right now, use me, Father. And I pray, God, just work in our hearts and our lives today, and we're going to thank you. Lord, we're going to praise you for what you're going to do. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious word of God. For a few moments this morning, again with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I want to look at the thought, the day that everything changed. Of course, this morning in our text, we have within certainly the true account of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have contained within the story here in the writing of Luke about the two malefactors. That's what certainly he calls them here. We'll also find that they are called thieves, certainly in other parts, in Mark and Matthew, I believe it is. In the scriptures, in the book of John, it just it mentions that there were two that were crucified with him. But also within the story this morning, we see, certainly within the two malefactors, I believe today, a picture of all of humanity. Now, I want you to get that this morning. Within the malefactors, we see a picture of all humanity, and how this day, the day of the crucifixion of our Lord and our Savior, changed not only for them, certainly their life, but the opportunity for all of humanity today to be saved and to have a personal relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, I want us to think about for a few moments today the day that everything changed. Now, I want to look at it this morning in about four or five different thoughts, and I'll try to give them to you just as quick as I can with the help of the Lord today. I want you to listen. I want you to pay attention. I want you to allow the Spirit of God to speak to you this morning, because certainly today there could be folks here today that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But this could be the day that everything changes. I'm glad today, thank God for a Savior, hallelujah, that's still on the throne, and I'm glad He's still saving. Friend, I want you to know today that He loves you, and the very reason that He went to the cross of Calvary and laid down His life is simply for the fact that you and I could know Him as our personal Lord and Savior. So I want us to think about the day that everything changed. First of all, within the text of our story this morning, and may I say, as we say story, as I said in the introduction, a true account of what was taking place on that day at Mount Calvary, or the place of Golgotha, or the place of the skull, as it's mentioned throughout the scriptures. And so this morning, the first thing that I want you to see is I want you to see the prisoners. I want you to see the prisoners. As I said today, as you look at this scene, it is a picture of all of humanity. Now Luke gives us the writing here in his writing, the word of malefactor. Now if you look up that word, as it's used in our text, in our King James Bibles, you will find that that word malefactor simply means a wrongdoer, a criminal, a evildoer. And so today we have a picture, if you will, of all humanity hanging before us here at this place of Calvary. First of all, I want you to notice in the picture of humanity here of the prisoners. First of all, I see the sinners. I see the sinners, which are the malefactors, the ones who had committed sin, the ones who were guilty here as we come to the place of Golgotha. As we come to Calvary today, we see those that were sinners, those that were guilty. humanity. Friend, that is a picture of all humanity here this morning. You say, preacher, I'm not all that bad. Friend, can I say today, as the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In other words, these malefactors, these thieves, whatever you want to call them this morning, they were guilty. They were guilty. They were guilty. I remember a time in my life. I don't know about you, but there was a time in the life, in my life, where the Word of God was preached and the Holy Spirit of God had come by and let me know that I was guilty, that I was guilty, that I was a wrongdoer, that I had messed up, that I had sinned against a thrice holy God. Boy, I'll tell you what, I'm glad for that day. Now, I'll tell you what, you may be in the place today that you're like just like one of those malefactors, that you're guilty before God. You say, preacher, that don't make me feel so good this morning. Well, friend, I understand that. But I'll tell you what, if you'll get to Calvary and you'll do as one of the malefactors done here, I'm glad you can have peace in your heart like you've never had. I'm glad you can come into a relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ this very day. It was the day that everything changed. Oh, my friend, hallelujah, what a Savior. I want you to know today, thank God, there's nothing better than knowing the Lord Jesus and a free pardon of sin, even though we know that we've been guilty. Boy, I'm so glad that blood that they sang about this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for the precious, pure, purifying blood. Hallelujah, this morning of the cross of Calvary of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Oh, my friend, we see the prisoners and we see a picture of all humanity. We see the sinners. But only not only do I want you to see this morning in the prisoners and them being the sinners, but secondly, I want you to notice their sentence. I want you to see the sentence that was cast upon them because they were malefactors, because they were men that had done wrong, that had done evil. They had broken the law of the land. And I'll tell you, you say, preacher, I've never done that. Oh, sure, we all have. I know we've all broken the laws of Almighty God. I tell you what, we've sinned against Him. And there is not only in being a picture here of humanity, it's being a picture of the sinner, but secondly, it is a picture of the sentence that is cast upon all of humanity. I want you to notice today, not only the sinners, but I want you to notice the sentence. What was the sentence, preacher? The sentence was death. The sentence was death. Not only do we have Romans 3:23 that lets us know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but we have Romans 6:23 that lets us know for the wages of sin is death. These men deserved to die. According to the law, these men deserved to die. Somebody will get a hold of that in a minute. According to the law, not only was I a sinner, but the sentence that had been pronounced upon me was that I was to die. Oh, my soul friend. Oh, how we ought to get a hold of that this morning. That's what I deserved. And that's what you deserved. Oh, this morning, my friend, you say, well, there was a physical death. Oh, yes, I understand that. But there's also a spiritual death that we need to be more concerned about than we do the physical death. I'm telling you this morning, we have a picture right here in this text before us today. And oh, if we could just see and realize today, my friend, I would ask you the question, where are you at? Are you like one of the sinners here? Has there been a sentence pronounced upon you this day? My friend, I'll say if we reach that age of accountability that we know wrong from right, then we are sinners. And there's a sentence, there's a price that has to be paid because we're all guilty before God this morning. Not only do we see the prisoners here in the picture of humanity, and we see the sinners, but then we see the sentence. Oh, my soul. In the sentence, Romans again 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And as I've said so many times, I mean, that's not the end of that verse. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now also I thought about James 1:15. The Bible says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so understand this morning, friend, that was the death, a sentence that's passed upon all of humanity for those that reject the love, hallelujah, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only do I see within the prisoners and a picture of all humanity, do I see the sinners and the sentence, but thirdly, I see the sinless one. There was three men that day on crosses that were dying. Two were guilty, but one was sinless. Oh, thank God for the sinless one. That's the day that everything changed. Oh, my friend, we'd be just like the malefactors. We would be in trouble today had it not been for the sinless one. Oh, thank God, I'm glad the sinless one, the one that had never done no wrong, the one that had never created an iniquity or a transgression against his father, the one that had never said or done anything wrong, hallelujah, is the one that was crucified in the middle. He's the one that was crucified for the sinners. He was the one that was crucified, hallelujah, to do away with that sentence that was placed upon humanity for those that had sinned against God. Oh, my soul, friend, I want you to see not only the sinners and the sentence, but I want you to see the sinless one. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What's that saying, preacher? It's simply saying this, that God placed our sin, the sin of the malefactors, the sin of the picture of all humanity, placed it upon the sinless one, that you and I could be redeemed by the good grace of God. Hallelujah. Thank God we ought to shout and worship and praise the God of glory this morning because that he loved you and I this much that he was willing to place upon his son the iniquity of us all this morning. So we have a picture of all humanity. A humanity that is guilty. A humanity today that they're sinners. And there's a sentence. And the only hope of that is the sinless one. The one who came and gave his life. That we could know him today in a free pardon of sin. I want you to notice something else within our story of the day that everything changed. Not only do we have the prisoners, but secondly, I want you to see within our story today, a proposal. A proposal. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, let's look back at our text for a few moments this morning in verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, watch it now. Here's the proposal. If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Here's the proposal. And you say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? What are you saying this morning in a proposal? Well, notice he says, if thou be Christ, save thyself. In other words, the proposal is this. If you're really Christ, let's make a deal. Is that not what he's saying? He's saying, if thou be Christ, let's make a deal. Well, that's a whole lot like humanity today. Humanity says, now, if I can come my way and do it my way, if you're really Christ, then you're going to have to do this before I can trust you. Well, now, I want to say this morning, through the authority of the Word of God today, and through the hope, through hopefully the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you something this morning. And friend, I want you to get it. I want you to get it real good. They are no deal making with God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you what, you either come God's way or you don't come at all. Listen to me, friend, it's not your way that you need. You can't figure it out. Listen, I'm telling you, you're not going to be able to figure all this stuff out, and I'm glad that we can't. I'm just simply saying today, you got to come God's way. You got to trust Him. You got to believe Him. You got to put your faith and your confidence in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about making a deal with God. That's what so many in humanity wants to do today. See, they still want to hang on to their sin. And amen. Because He don't say anything about his sin. God, let's make a deal. Here's the proposal, God. Lord, here's the proposal. Here's what I'm willing to do. Well, friend, I'm going to say something today. Again, you either come God's way. If you don't come God's way, there's going to be nothing done in your life that's going to help you today. So many people have a proposal. So we see the picture of the prisoners here. Then we have a proposal. Notice in the proposal, let me give you three things about the proposal. If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Notice first of all in the proposal that he railed on him. Who did he rail on? He railed on the person of the Lord Jesus. Again, this is a picture of humanity. This is a picture in the proposal of lost humanity trying to figure out their own way in a way of salvation. Friend, it don't work that way. But notice again in the proposal that he railed on him. He railed on the person of the Lord Jesus. That word rail means to vilify. It means to speak impiously. It means to blaspheme. It means to defame. It means to speak evil of. Oh, my soul. Here they are. Now, try to go with me here for a few moments. They're on this hill of Calvary. They have been nailed to a cross. They are sinners. They have been sentenced. They're being crucified between the sinless wood, and that one malefactor looks over, if thou be Christ. If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Well, he was just wanting to be physically saved. He was wanting to get out of the situation and the difficulty and the troubles of life that he had brought upon himself. Amen. Nobody wants to take responsibility for their own actions anymore. Amen. I always want to blame somebody. I always want to come before God and say, let's make a deal now. But I want to tell you, first of all, in the proposal, we see here in the proposal, in the verse, that he railed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, that's not a good way to get help from anybody. I'm telling you what, especially the Son of God. But notice in the proposal, not only did he rail on him, but secondly, I want you to notice he rejected him. And you say, preacher, where do you see that? Well, notice again in verse 39, if thou be Christ. He was questioning the very deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only did he rail on him, but he rejected him. Again, it's a picture of all humanity. How many people time after time have opportunity to get things right with God, but yet they reject Him. They turn Him away. They say no to the Son of God. Oh, friend, my soul today, I pray that if you are in that condition, and could I say today that every one of us here seated in this auditorium, the sanctuary this morning, is either the malefactor that tries to make the proposal, or will be like the other malefactor that we're going to talk about in just a few moments. Because all of humanity this morning is either lost or saved. There is no in between. The one in between this morning is the cross of the Lord Jesus. And thank God it is. But friend, there is no in-between this morning when it comes to where you're going to spend eternity. Listen, there's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun. And here, this very man is dying on this cross beside of the Lord Jesus, has the opportunity at this very moment to make things right with God, and he wants to make his own proposal and his own deal before God. I'm afraid that's just like humanity today. Not only do we see in his proposal, do we see him rail on the Lord Jesus, we see him reject him. But then I want you to notice thirdly, he repented not of his sin. He has no regard, he has no remorse for his sin. Oh God, help us today. He is a holy God. And we're not going to hold on to our sin and have a relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to have no hope of eternal life, no true hope, no true joy, no true peace if we hold on to that sin. I wonder today, within the picture of humanity, as we have the picture of the cross and the malefactors, would you be here today and be one just like this? Now, the Bible doesn't give us their names. Nowhere in the Scriptures that I'm aware of do we have their names. But could I say today, God knew who they were? God knew what they had done? God knew what... Hallelujah. He knew what they needed. And it was supplied right here the day that everything changed. We have the prisoners. We have the proposal. And in the proposal, he railed, he rejected, and he repented not of his sin. You understand there's people every week that hears the gospel. There's probably people every day somewhere that hears the gospel. Hears the gospel message. Hear how this day changed everything. But yet they reject and repent not and turn away from the greatest gift that could ever be given. The day that everything changed, we see the prisoners, we see the proposal. But thirdly, I want you to see a proper observation. I'm starting in verse 40, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Does not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" Listen, they're dying right there. Listen, friend, you're dying. You're dying. Oh, I know this is the day that we celebrate the resurrection and we celebrate life, and thank God I'm glad that we can. But we also must understand that we are accountable to this God, this holy God, the God of heaven, the God of the Bible. We're accountable to this person of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he done for you and I at Calvary. And here this man just turns him away. It's a picture of humanity. But then we see the one that has the proper observation. He sees or saw Christ for who he was. Notice in his proper observation that first of all he rebukes the non-believer. We see the non-believer rails on Christ, but then we see the one that has the proper observation here, the other malefactor, but the other answered, rebuke him, saying... He rebukes. He sees something different. I'm glad that one day I saw something different. Amen? Not just what the world had to offer, but I'm glad I seen that, hallelujah, there was a better way. I'm glad that through the eye of faith that I got to walk up Calvary's Hill and see the Lord Jesus dying for someone like me. And even though I was guilty, even though I was just like that malefactor, I deserved it. The sentence was death. But we see the one that had the proper observation. He rebukes the non-believer, but secondly, not only does he rebuke the non-believer, but secondly, he recognizes his condition. Notice what he says. Does not thou fear God, seeing thou... Boy, there's something to think about. Does not thou fear God? There is no fear of God, it seems like, in the day in which we live. But I'll tell you what, whether you fear him or not, you'll stand before him one day and give an account. Notice what the malefactor says here in the latter part of verse number 40. Does not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? In other words, you know what he's saying? We are getting what we deserve. We are guilty. Guilty before man and before God. Not only does he, in his proper observation, does he rebuke the non-believer, but he recognizes his condition. But thirdly, not only in recognizing his condition, he takes it a step farther and receives the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, I just don't believe all that. Well, friend, that's your problem. You have a problem in what you believe. I believe with all my heart this malefactor, this thief, this sinner, the one that the sentence of death had been placed upon him. I'm telling you what, thank God I'm glad he called upon the one that was dying in the midst of Calvary, because he knew the one, he knew that was his only hope. That was his only way out. I'm telling you, he saw something that day. He saw something that day. He saw one dying for him. Oh, friend, this morning, if you could just see the day that everything changed, that somebody was willing to take your place. Hallelujah. Somebody was willing to take your place. He rebukes the other non-believer. He recognizes his condition. But then he receives the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. You say, preacher, I don't know where you see all that. Well, let's notice again in verse 41, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But notice what he says. But this man hath done nothing amiss. This man's done nothing wrong. We're guilty. But then notice in verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. It's amazing as you study Bible prayers. And I know it's not been long ago since we preached on the publican that said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Listen, friend, it don't have to be no long, drawn-out prayer. It's faith in the heart, seeing your condition as he saw his, and calling upon him. Trusting him, believing him. It's a picture of all humanity. You're either lost or you're saved. There's no middle ground. We have the prisoners. We have a proposal. We have a proper observation. And then we have a promise. Now, I know some of you act like it's just boring you to death. Go back to your Calvary. Go back to the day that everything changed for you. Because I was the one, that malefactor, the one that was guilty, the one that deserved the sentence of death. But I'm glad I'm like that one malefactor. I'm glad I soon realized that he was what I needed. Hallelujah this morning, church. Thank God. I'm telling you what. Thank God not only do we see a proper observation and we see that he receives the Lord Jesus, but we see that Jesus gives him a promise. What is that promise? Notice in verse 43, and I'm done. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today. Today. He ain't got tomorrow. Oh, my friend, if you could just see it. He don't have another chance. This is his last opportunity. He either gets right now or he's not going to get it right. He's going to die and perish. Listen, this other malefactor, as I said, it's a picture of all humanity. This other malefactor, as far as we know, dies and perishes without God. He was too much worried about his proposal. Let's make a deal. God doesn't make deals. But I want you to notice, hallelujah, in the one that had the proper observation and realized his need and called upon the one that could meet that need, we see that Jesus gives him a promise. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, I don't have time to get in on the doctrinal truths of paradise and heaven now. I'm not even going to go there this morning. But I'm going to say this. I want you to notice three things about this promise. Number one, I want you to notice in this promise that Jesus gives this malefactor, the one that called upon him, the one that trusted him. I want you to notice, first of all, it was a sound promise. Why was it a sound promise? Because it came from him. Not only was it a sound promise, but it was a sure promise. Today thou shalt be. And not only was it a sure promise, but it was a safe promise. All the devils in hell couldn't take that away from him. Preacher, do you believe that this malefactor is in heaven today? Just as sure as I'm standing here on this platform in Wilkesboro, North Carolina, I promise you today, this malefactor, according to Jesus' own word, and according to his own promise, is with him this very day. Did he deserve it? No. Did you deserve it? No. Do I deserve it? No, but thanks be to God, because the day that everything changed, I'm glad today that I can claim heaven as my eternal home. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But friend, that's just what Jesus came to do. To seek and to save that which was lost. I want you to notice in closing this morning, as Brother Scotty go ahead and gets us a song of invitation. I'm done. This man, this malefactor, which gives us a picture of the ones that would call upon the Lord Jesus for salvation, didn't squander his last opportunity. Friend, one day, if you continue to go on like you're going, you're going to squander your last opportunity. Preacher, what does it take to get right with God? To do just exactly what this guy with the proper observation done. Lord, remember me. Lord, forgive me. He already recognized he didn't deserve it. He recognized he was a sinner. Because he realized he was dying on that cross. That death sentence was upon him. Because of the sin that he had committed. But thanks be unto God to the one that can wipe away that debt of sin. He gave him a promise. And just as sure as you're seated right here today, friend, you can have that same promise, that same assurance in your heart, in your life, if only you would trust Christ. The day that everything changed, the day that Jesus died at Calvary, if you continue to study, as you well know, he gives up the ghost, he dies, as far as physical man is concerned. But we realize after 3 days in the heart of the earth, he comes back alive. Matter of fact, he was alive the whole time. Amen. Amen. You can't kill an eternal God. Amen. That's another message for another day. But the question I have this morning, or more importantly, the question the Holy Spirit has for you is he alive in your heart? Friend, two men had a choice. One man says, I'll make a proposal. The other says, I believe I'll just take it for face value and realize what I am and call on the one that can save me. Friend, it's up to you. It was his last opportunity. Preacher, does God, will God save someone at that last opportunity? Saved him. What if this was your last opportunity? Oh, my friend, don't squander it. Don't try to make a proposal. Do it your way. You got to come God's way. What is coming God's way? Seeing who you are, seeing who he is, and calling upon him for that which you need. But it's up to you. You could go away from here today saying, this day, everything changed. The day I got saved, everything changed. The way man comes to God on this day, everything changed. That morning of the resurrection, everything changed. I'm glad we can have life and have it more abundantly. Let's stand to our feet all over the building. Father, we love you today. We thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you for the precious word of God. And Lord, I realize today, Father, as I've stood in this place, that Lord, I've not even begun to scratch the surface, Lord, of this wonderful text that we have before us. But Lord, I truly believe it's what you placed upon our heart for this day and for this hour. And Lord, we do thank you for this special season once again as we celebrate your death and your burial and your resurrection. And Lord, I'm glad today that you're seated upon the right hand of the Father, Lord, to make intercession for each and every one of us here this morning. And Lord, as we look at this text today, Lord, we look out over this congregation and each individual that's reached the age of accountability, Lord, it gives us a picture of humanity. Either they are lost or they are saved. And this morning, if there's any here today that are not saved, I pray that, Lord, this very day, that they would step out by faith and come to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, only you can do that work. All I can do, Father, is try to proclaim the words you've put upon my heart, but Lord, you have to do the rest. And Lord, they have to be willing to call upon you. So I pray right now in the stillness of this service. I pray, Father, if there be anybody here today that's not ready and prepared to meet you, that today they would see themselves just like these malefactors. They would see themselves in need of a Savior. Don't let them be like the one that rejected and turned him away. But Lord, let them come this day. Someone here today that's been saved, but maybe they're out of the will of God. Maybe they've wandered away from the paths, Lord, that you would have them to be on. Lord, I pray right now in the stillness of the service as the invitation's given, that God, that you'll speak and move, and that we'd be obedient. I'm so glad today of the day that everything changed in my life. And Lord, I pray, oh God, do that work that only you can do. And Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. As every head's bowed, every eye's closed before we sing, as they play softly this morning, friend, I wonder, I just wonder,